Go to the New Testament, book of Matthew, and I want to introduce you to the one on the throne through the eyes of the one that knows him better. In fact, the scriptures tell us that one came to reveal the Father to us. Because the one on the throne, in Matthew 5 and verse 16, the one on the throne of heaven is God the Father. Jesus says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men," Matthew 5, 16, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So God is in heaven. But look down at verse 34. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 34, "But I say to you, don't swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is what? God's throne." You see, the one on the throne of heaven is God the Father. So Jesus says, you want to know what God the Father's like? Look at verse 45. He's kind. Matthew 5, 45, "that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust." That's why he's God. I mean, I wouldn't let it rain on the unjust. I would let their lawns die, you know? I wouldn't let the sun shine. Let them be in the dark. They live like the dark. Let them be in the dark. God is kind. Now, in the tribulation, he's not kind. In the millennium, he's not kind. He doesn't rain on the bad ones. They have to either shape up or they die. But now he's kind. Look at verse 48. He's perfect. Be perfect. Your Father in heaven is perfect. The one on the throne is perfect. You know, we have such imperfections. You know, I had a disaster this week. Did you know that my iMac had a blip, had a problem? I thought they weren't supposed to have problems. I thought only PCs had problems. And it was terrible. But it was a reminder. Everything touched with sin, humanity in this world, is imperfect. God is perfect. Our Father on the throne is perfect. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Our Father on the throne gives rewards. Take heed that you don't do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you'll have no reward. God is the reward from our Father in heaven, verse 1 says. God gives rewards. What does he give rewards for? We're going to look at that tonight. He gives rewards because every one of us have absolute latitude to choose what we want to do. We go through life with just a series of choices. God does not force us to obey him. If he did, we would be a lot different. Every one of us here. I would be out of a job. I wouldn't have to tell you to read the Bible and pray and go out and we wouldn't have an evangelism department. We would all do it all. Because if he forced us, we'd do everything he said we're supposed to do. It's a choice. We're going to examine that tonight. But wow, he's the one that rewards those that do what he asks them to do. Look at verse 4, the end. It says, "Your Father who sees in secret." Matthew 6, 4. God sees everything. And then it says, verse 6, "Pray to your Father who is in the secret place." Your Father sees in secret. He'll reward you openly at the end of verse 6. God on the throne of heaven sees everything, hears every prayer, and is everywhere present. Wow. Aren't you glad you know him? With all those things out there, we don't even know what all's out there, but the ones we know about are awful. And yet, the absolutely holy, quaking, surrounded by burning angels, all-powerful, greater than the sum of the universe, says, "I'm your Father. I want you to talk to me, and I hear you." And look what it says in verse 8. "He knows our needs. Don't be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." Prayer is not informing God. Prayer is the means God used. He said, "I will not work inside of you, and I will not work through you unless you approach me in prayer." And you can cut it down. You don't need to inform me. What you ask is for God to conform me to his plans. Because God will always accomplish his purpose. And there is no limit to what he'll do for us and through us if we just yield instead of doing it our own way. Keep looking. Look at verse 9. He says, "Direct your prayers to me. After this manner, therefore, pray to the all-holy, all-powerful one that's your Father on the throne." Verse 9. Look at verse 14. "He forgives sins. Nobody else can. If you forgive men trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." He doesn't forgive the unforgiving. And that's why a lot of Christians are tormented, because they have been freely forgiven by Christ and they won't forgive others. And God doesn't force them, but he robs them and takes away from them the joy of salvation. And they become tormented because of their unforgiving heart. Real quickly, look at verse 26. Our Father on the throne of heaven cares deeply for us. Verse 26, look at the birds. They don't sow or reap, but your Father in heaven feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they?" Jesus said. Don't you think? Jesus didn't die for birds or for any other animal. He died for you. And we're valuable because he paid so much for us. Verse 30, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, won't he clothe you?" Verse 32, "After all these things the Gentiles seek," your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. God cares deeply for us. Look at verse 33. He's the one we're supposed to seek. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, that God is king, the one on the throne, the one that's all-powerful and holy. Seek him first over everything else. By the way, he sees what we do in secret, and he knows our thoughts, and he knows everything. He knows if we're doing that. He doesn't force us. Well, how should we approach the one on the throne? He's kind, so we don't have to fear. He's perfect. He doesn't need any improvements on his job as Father. He gives rewards. And he wants to pour out his blessings on us. He sees everything, hears our prayers. He's everywhere present. He knows our needs. He knows them even before we ask, but he chooses prayer as the means and method he uses to transform us. He wants us to pray to him. He forgives our sins in spite of the fact he knows how much we've sinned and how much we continue to sin, and he still forgives us endlessly. And he deeply cares for us. He's neither distant nor detached, and he's the same one that's sitting on the throne in Revelation 4. And he says, "I want you to know me, absolutely holy, absolutely greater than the sum of everything I've made. I'm all-powerful above everything there is, but I want to relate to you as Father."